first in Vienna, and then in Helsinki in the summer, to carry out the objective which is set forth in this statement. This statement indicates the commitment of the highest levels in both Moscow and Washington toward achieving that objective. As far as matters that will be negotiated beyond this general statement is concerned, no useful purpose insofar as achieving the goal would be served by discussion. I will simply say that the leaders should know that here in our government, at all levels, I'll commend myself and Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Ambassador Smith of the Arms Control Agency and the rest. We will actively pursue the objectives set forth in this statement. While until an agreement actually is reached, no one can be sure. We at least can say that because of the involvement at the highest level, as indicated in this joint statement, we are hopeful that an agreement covering defensive weapons and offensive weapons can be reached in the months ahead. Now beyond that, I will not make any further statement at this time. I think I should ask Bill Rogers if he would like to say something, and then I'd like to ask Jerry Smith, and then of course take any questions that
he has. Bill, I was I think it's important for all of us in our government to let these negotiations continue and have them handled by the negotiators. It's going to be a tremendous temptation in this country to want to know everything about what's going on. And nothing could serve to kill the prospects any faster than that.
I mean, I'll interrupt Bill on that point. It would be all right as far as we're concerned, but it would kill it with the Soviets. But then we have found, and Bill and Kissinger and others will agree, and I think Jerry would volunteer to put it, that they are extremely sensitive about public disclosure of the process of the progress of negotiations. Thanks very much.
I'm sure this will be assessed and analyzed and so forth. Now these words were very carefully worked out. They have a meaning. The meaning is that there's considerable hope now, and we can't kill that hope by a lot of speculation. So we would hope that that it's construed that way. We were going to try not to answer questions. So we think that there is now a real prospect for success in the talks. We think the president is. By taking this initiative, and I think we want to be careful not to try to claim any credit for it because it was sort of a joint action. If it looks as if it's just a U.S. position that would sour the Russians, but actually it's the president's initiative, and it has resulted, and obviously this is a very significant statement because it's carefully worked out between our two governments at the highest level, and we just think it's a it has great potential, always recognizing that you don't have an agreement until you finally have one. We don't actually have an agreement of Iran defensive or offensive missile systems until it's worked out, and that's going to be the difficult problem that Jerry Smith and his colleagues have. But it does indicate for the first time that we have real hope that it can be achieved.
And the point too that now, for the first time, both the Soviet Union and the United States have agreed in parallel and simultaneous actions to negotiate on both issues. That is the new element that is involved. like Jerry to come to the heat out there and tell us, tell the leaders what you feel, what guidance they ought to have in regard to your operation.
President, I would stress what Bill Rogers said, we're a long way from home. There is still a tremendous amount of complex bargaining to be done. And the problem with what I consider a wonderful political thrust from both governments, which inevitably is going to make our problem somewhat easier. The problem, once you have that sort of political thrust, is how not to have lost any bargaining power in the process of taking it, grasping over it. And I would stress to all of you, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that there are these very difficult problems that are going to have to be bargained out on the basis of mutual concessions. And we don't yet have a clear picture of where this is going to come out. But I'm very substantially encouraged by what this council is going to do.
It should be said that, and in fairness to Jerry, and also to those in this government that work on it, and for the Soviet government, however, that if this statement had been made before any discussions had ever taken place, there wouldn't be any chance for anything this year. But at least the various issues on which we, which you say are very difficult, have all been thoroughly discussed, but not agreed upon. So you at least have positions now. A lot of the work has been done, but now the tough bargaining comes in working out the differences. Would that be a fair statement? Admiral Moore, are you, or Mel, I thought you left. Go ahead.
Well, Mr. President, Bill handled it very well. This is a negotiating framework which is being announced by the heads of both governments, and this framework does give the possibility of an agreement in both the offensive and the defensive area, and I think that this is the major thrust of it, but it is a negotiating framework that's being announced at the highest level of our governments. This is significant, so this statement, it doesn't mean that we can change our course here because we don't have an agreement. And it will be necessary for me, as far as the Secretary of Defense, to push our program so that we don't take unilateral action before there is an agreement reached by both sides.
On that point, if I can say, it is vitally important for us to recognize that while this statement represents a commitment on the part of the leaders at the highest level to work towards agreement, and that commitment has great meaning, of course, to the negotiators. On the other hand, it does not mean on the part of the Soviets, and therefore it does not mean on our part that they are in any way changing their programs with regard to offensive weapons and so forth. Consequently, until agreement is finally reached, it would be very detrimental to the possibility of reaching agreement for us to change ours, because any incentive for them to agree would be totally taken away if we were to change our programs. I know, incidentally, let me say, I say this without wanting to question the very, very sincere concerns that many have with regard to some of our programs in the defense area. But I do know this, that as far as our negotiators in Vienna and Helsinki are concerned now, with this statement before them, it is vitally important that we not take away a card that they have to negotiate, or they're not going to get the result that you need. That's really what I think your situation is now, isn't it?
Certainly is, Mr. President. I think that it ought to be recognized that something significant has happened in the Soviet mind in the last 4 or 5 months. And it hasn't happened just by chance. they had a flat commitment to getting the Americans to limit their defensive weapons, but also their offensive weapons, not limited. And they've changed that position. The reason why they changed our position is that they saw that they were not going to knock us off our position. There had to be some pace. And they saw to get something from us that we're going to have to pay for it. And they're going to pay for it now in the coin of offensive controls. And they're going to pay for it only if they see they're not going to get it for free in the form of something collateral to strengthen the part of the United States. So I feel very strong. We shouldn't make the slightest change in our defense programs because of this.
Let me say, defense programs that affect this. This is going to be the this year defense programs.
Mr. President, I should say what we're going to add. I think we'll also keep in mind that we're not making enough leave for the foreseeable future. We would be inclined to think that this is not a long-term proposition. We think that now this sort of statement that we should see
action. If I may interrupt you, Bill, and this statement, of course, will be given the precedent of the words have agreed to concentrate this year. That's a term of art. It means that exactly.
So I think what we're saying is we hope there'll be moderation in comments about it. Not too euphoric about it. Hopeful, but not anything else. And we hope that there'll not be a lot of probing about what does each word mean. It means that the two governments have agreed on this statement and it holds out hope for the future. And it now has to be done quietly by Jerry Smith and his negotiators to get the negotiating table. Now it's a question, can a democracy do it that way? We hope so. It's a supreme test. Can we negotiate a very difficult agreement that both sides wanted successfully and do it in a way that serves our national interest?
It's also significant to note that the point that Bill had made earlier, you know, that a lot rides on this, because should we succeed even in this limited area, then having succeeded in this limited area, the possibility of making progress in other areas where there are differences, if the Soviet Union increases. This is something that is true. Henry, would you like to say anything on
it? No, Mr. President, I think that the Secretary of State and others around the table have covered it again.
Yes, sir. Senator Elder wants to get in time every night. Sorry, I haven't typed up to give to all. Let me, I should say at this moment, this meeting will be over, of course, shortly. It is imperative that nothing be said until 12 o'clock. Not because of us there is any concern, but the Soviet are extremely sensitive since they've agreed to a joint statement that to be issued. They're issuing it on Moscow, in the Moscow radio, television, whatever, at 7 o'clock Moscow time, which is 12 o'clock Washington time. And we have indicated to them that until 12 o'clock Washington time, we will say nothing. So, except, of course, they understand the consultation or information is what we're talking about should take place. So, that's one of the reasons we haven't circulated it broadly, because we hope that after this meeting, we can simply wait until 12, and of course, comment as we want. The governments of the United States and the Soviet Union, after reviewing the course of their talks on the limitation of strategic armaments, have agreed to concentrate this year on working out an agreement for the limitation of the deployment of anti-ballistic missile systems, ATMs. They have also agreed that together with conclusion and agreement to limit ATMs, they will agree on certain measures with respect to the limitation of offensive strategic weapons. That's the operative sentence. The two sides are taking this course in the conviction that it will create more favorable conditions for further negotiations to limit all strategic arms. These negotiations will be actively pursued. Now, that last paragraph is also very important because to limit all strategic arms, that goes into the comprehensive agreement, which we first asked for, and which seems far away. But once this initial agreement is reached, then we move on to the more comprehensive agreement. The negotiation is not an act. But what we're trying to do here is to bite off a very significant part of the problem. First with the statement, then with the agreement, and then go from there to some of the more problems, difficult problems that lie ahead in the total field of strategic weapons.
Well, Mr. President, here's a question. We're going to ask questions when we go out of this room before 7 o'clock. What would you wish our response to be?
I would suggest, Mike, that and I would like the guidance of any others here on it, but I would suggest that what would be most appropriate would be if all of you could say we have had a briefing by the President on a significant foreign policy development. The statements will be made by the President at 12 o'clock noon today. After that, and I hope we will have no comment until he makes that statement.
Exactly.
That's not all right.
It's fine.
If you have, I'd be glad to know. That's fine. That's about a significant foreign policy development. A statement will be issued to the press by the President at 12 o'clock noon today. In fact, my statement at noon today is going to be 1 minute. It's just what I'm going to read this and put a sentence in the beginning and a sentence afterwards, and that's it. Well, there's a reason for that, too. It's very important to let the statement stand for what it means, not to say, well, this is something where they gave in. We're not going to say anything like that, because to claim that this is more than it really is. It may be, I hope it is, that we all around this table can look back to this day and say, well, that was the time when a new era began, in which all nations turned more of their resources away from weapons of war and towards the pursuits of peace. We hope so. This gives some hope in that direction. But at this point, in terms of accomplishing our goal and dealing with very hard-headed, tough negotiators whose interests are quite different from ours. Because after all, putting it in terms of the weapons, we have something in the way of building a defensive system that they want to control. They have something in building in a very substantial buildup of offensive weapons that we want to control. So that's why there are differences. Now, to resolve that difference, is of enormous importance because it affects the vital security of both countries. If this can be done, all of you can see that it can have enormous effects for the future. Now, that's putting it that is what I'm going to say when I go out and speak to the press. Others can categorize it the way they want. But we're going to just state it in rather simple terms as to what it is. Jerry Smith is going to take it, do his best. Yeah. You go off tomorrow. Yes, my meeting with the delegation. I would like to say in this connection that it would not have been possible without the preparation on the part of, within our own government, of the National Security Council Verification Panel, right, which Dr. Kissinger, his staff, Bill Rogers, the State Department, the Joint Chiefs, Secretary of Defense. I mean, getting a position in an area like this, as all of you, particularly armed services, so it's a great deal of work on the part of those. It also, I think, one end of the bridge, and now you have to build the other.
Now, Mr. Bradley, may I make a suggestion, sir? I've been to Russia last year, and it strikes me that in order to show our good faith in entering these agreements, that we ought to suspend for the time being the construction of this ABM. Just to show our good faith, so that we finally do something. And I think if we do that, take a lead that we somewhat effective, but we must take the lead. And I talked to Mr. Kissinger some time ago, and I told myself that in order to get any results from these negotiations, that we ought to lean backwards. And, but just by suspending it, we're urging it. Well, that just show that we're willing to start now and not next year.
Well, let me say this, that as you know, everybody around this table, because I couldn't have greater respect for your views and also your skilled negotiator. I know that. And the views of others who I think maybe in this room and in the Senate and the House take that same view. And frankly, it's a judgment call. I believe, however, that would be an enormous mistake. I believe it's an enormous mistake. I think we are showing our goodwill by this statement that is issued today. The Russians know that the moment that we have an agreement, we will suspend. We're ready. The second point is, I also believe that looking at them and their interests, that if we were to suspend our ABM, there would be no agreement on offensive weapons. We would destroy that as well.
Why do you say that?
Because not, they're going to get something that...
It doesn't mean that we're not going to continue it if the agreement doesn't go through.
Well, that's merely,
what I'm saying is merely that you say we're suspending the time maybe 3 or 4 months, that's all.
Well, that's
not like ready to continue.
Well, all right,
we leave the money in the kitchen there.
If we suspend for 3 or 4 months, then the negotiations will be on ice for 3 or 4 months. I'd rather have those negotiations go forward for 3 or 4 months so that at the end of that 3 or 4 months, rather than having to start rebuilding ABMs, we have an agreement limiting ABMs and an agreement on offensive weapons. That's really what's at stake
here. President, may I?
Yes, sir.
I don't think anybody realizes more than Alan himself that I don't have a dear friend. He is.
Well, but I do.
I know what Alan and I discussed is we've total disagreement. Now, I'm going to have to be one of those who's going to carry the weight on the floor of that house. And I'm glad Alan brought the subject up to get the expressions of yourself and others around the table. It's going to be incumbent upon us. Les and I will have to carry that fight. It gets tougher every day in our committee. And they take the approach of let's do something to satisfy them. It'll be disastrous. It'll be the worst thing that could happen to us now. We have tough enough time getting by with the minimum that we're getting by with. We have fights in committee on limitations. We're now meeting in markup of the procurement bill. And this still goes to the floor. There'll be a tax on PBM, a tax on PD1, there'll be a tax on every conceivable part of that bill. And George may own Frank will have to get the appropriation. So I'm pleased to this extent. I'll pose the question myself to get the executive, the president's own wishes, and I share it 1,000%. As far as I'm concerned, I'll go down fighting as far as I can to protect that ABM.
Because we aren't going to go forward with ABM or frankly any other system once we get an agreement. I can assure you of that. But it's the agreement that's essential.
Of course, the agreement is essential, and in fact, it's from my language, words, those words come to me. I want to keep my powder dry. I'll talk to normal doomsday, but I'll always be ready to shoot. And the minute that I stop being ready to shoot, I'm whipped. And as far as I'm personally concerned, and I think I can't speak for the whole committee, but I think Les will agree with me that we can, as far as we're concerned in the House, we could do our bit. Don't you think so, Les? And it's a fight. It's going to be a fight.
George,
Mr. President, I think we all know what we have to create in the way of defensive weapons. Where do we start in the field of offensive weapons?
was there, you know, extremely complex. You had on the you people on the defense committees and appropriations, we know this better than anybody else. We're talking about everything from submarines to airplanes to missiles. Now, the best thing on that, and I like to be more responsive, but it would not be in the interest of agreements, is to say that we should simply not discuss where we start. That is, these are matters for negotiation, and these are matters that will develop during the course of negotiations. A lot of state work has been done, a lot of positions have been involved, but we have to leave it now to the negotiators to work it out.
Well, I just
not say where we start. If we start saying that to see George, then that just takes one card away that Fed needs to negotiate with. Is that the, or do you have a different position?
No, sir, I think we should be very careful about what you talk about as what our lawful ends and the offense.
Mr. President, if I may say a word, you have confronted this administration, and those who agree with it, I want to fully agree, confronted with a situation in which the strength of those of us who belong and believe in a strong defense program to a great degree is going to be jeopardized. And if people begin to say in the Congress, well, it looks like the agreement's right around the corner, and let's drastically slash defense and spend it on the environment or something. Of course, the unilateral the Russians are never going to agree if we have a unilateral reduction. So it seems to me the four people in the House and the Senate go too far in saying, well, everything looks like it's a real wonderful time. We cut back sharply. It seems to me that an effort must be made to prevent people getting out on a limb that will make it difficult for us to get the basic authorization and the basic defense program. You're in a very critical situation.
I say with that. I don't understand I know you're right, but I have difficulty understanding the rationale. We've pursued a policy in the past that's led up to very significant developments. I can see why in the past the arguments were made that maybe we shouldn't have done what we did. But now we pursue this policy, and it appears to work, and to have worked, not only in this field, but in at force levels in Europe. Very significant changes are occurring. Now, why we at that point should say, let's change our policy, let's give them something before we get an agreement, I don't understand. If there's anything that's illogical, it is to say now we're just about ready to succeed with the policy that we've been pursuing. Now let's change it. The point is, let's pursue our policy. We're not asking for a long delay. We think that the developments will move along fairly quickly. And obviously the policy that the president's pursued has succeeded, so as you can tell. Let's continue it. Give us a chance. Give us a chance to negotiate it. Do it to will. Obviously, we can't make an agreement without consultation at the right time, but now is not the right time. And this is a very significant breakthrough. This is a great tribute to the policies of the past. Why we should think about changing it now is beyond me.
Mr. Secretary, that's quite a good point. Did you challenge the judge?
No, I agree with him. That's what he's saying. George said that he thought there'd be a lot of
that you addressed.
No, I think that's true. That he's in charge of saying that he thought there'd be a lot of people.
In other words, the secretary agrees with George. Yeah, so both of them agree
that he's on one on the ground. They're fighting for you, basically. Well, now look, that now that we have this understanding and why should we go forward with defense in other areas and so forth, let me say. Let me say that I repeat, it is vitally important if we want an agreement, and believe me, an agreement with the Soviet would be a massive step forward, an agreement in any significant area. If we want an agreement, we're only going to get it, in my opinion, here I respectfully disagree with many of my colleagues around here, but we're only going to get it if
we got something that they want to stop or get, and in order to exchange for something that we want to get. Now, that's the way agreements are made. They're made with us, and they're made with them. That's been their history, at least. Jerry, do you
I couldn't agree more, and I think it would be tragic on the authorization, on the appropriation, for us to pull the rug out from underneath the progress that's been made and the progress that I hope can be made in the months ahead. And from our point of view, I mean, as far as I can have any influence, we will do everything we can to help Eddie and George and Frank and Les on the two legislating matters coming before the House.
John, do you have your
sentence? Well, Mr. President, I feel quite good about what you're going to announce. I think the first blush would be to increase the problem as to the legislation that is continuing ADL. I believe the second thought of the American people, as well as for the membership of the Congress and the American people, would be, well, this is it's not definite, this is a step. Got to keep pushing and just take out the news. Hang up your harness and be the opposite way out of the way. Eddie ain't bad, no rotten bite in the house. That's just what it's
no preliminary explanation. We don't have a battle to shed it.
I know that. But I think great caution about this being the pride. This is pointing in direction. Possible problem. We just have to keep it from that pushing in the same way.
Let me say it. I mean, that's just a theme of the, everybody around this table wants to reduce the danger of war. We want to reduce the burden of armaments. The question is how. And there is on the surface of opinion as to how that can be. And I respect the differences. But I am convinced that the course we're on at this time, as Bill Rogerson suggested, is the right course. I think that it is bringing some results. It may prove later to be the wrong course. If it does, then we have to change. But not now.
Like Mr. Boyd just said, battle judgment.
That's right.
Friend over here, it makes me feel like Gideon's been opposite his thinking, but I think
And Mr. President, somebody's got to break the ice. We've been trying this for a long time now, and we haven't reached any conclusion. And I'm not saying it shouldn't continue in the future, we can't get agreement, but if we simply take steps just to suspend, that's all, just have it ready, just go on living, you know, and if the people doesn't come, I believe we'll go far towards having them to come to a quick agreement. That's my position.
Mr. President,
I don't want to impose myself on you, but I'd like to spend with you and Mr. Kissinger 30 minutes, or an hour if you want.
Sure.
I've been in Soviet Union for five times now, and I've got some ideas that I think would be productive. And even Mr. Smith, yeah, I'd like to talk to him. All I want is just to put my views before you, and I believe that because of things we've done in the past, that we ought to be the ones to break the ice. That's what I'm suggesting. It's a guess, not to cut it out at all, but just as a friend. That's all good thing.
Mr. President, could I make one point on the matter of timing? It may be a little confusing. We have already pretty much agreed to adjourn the Vienna talks at the end of this month and go to Helsinki very quickly thereafter. There's 30-minute recess. So when you see that shortly after this announcement, we're recessing. It isn't. It has something to do with that. And this has already been planned ahead. We've got a lot of homework to do back in Washington before we.
There will be preliminary discussions only in reality. And your tough bargaining will take place in Helsinki starting the 1st of July, right? That's a very important point.
That's all. Yes, sir. Myself, the point he makes, namely, the question of timing. I've been informed by Congressman Avett and the Congressman Harris Craig on military procurement bill this week, is that right?
Three this week.
Is that a, I just remarked, I mentioned that we should have this bill in the House the week after we come back from the Memorial Day recess.
Oh, yeah.
So the week after that.
The week after that, you told me to say, we're ready for the second week. We're ready anytime you want to go.
Well, we hope second week, possibly.
The second week, you told me.
But now, if that was the second week, you were that week, we're being coincidental with the negotiations going on by your group. And it seems today that if we suspend the ABM and any other defense systems, that it would have a disastrous impact on what you're trying to do, number one. Number two, Alan, the trouble about suspending something is that once you suspend it, you really have to get it going again.
And it costs money, Alan, you have to pay for 20.
Invaluable time in the interval that we can never catch up with.
To the what, Gerald?
in our ABM development system if all of a sudden they should fall apart?
Well, if you come to agreement, all the work you're going to do in the meantime will come to naught. You're going to waste it.
Let me say, Gary, if I can just having served in both the House and the Senate, and there's one thing that I came to the room today, I said to my I appreciate that. Who knows who was wrong? So we discuss it, and there's an honest disagreement here. We disagree, and Alan Hunter has not. We want to hear what you said, so we believe we're on the right track. As long as I'm here, I've got to call that signal, and then if the Congress won't go along with it, then we'll have to go in another direction. But I believe this is the right thing. But I don't think anything is going to be served by simply going over the arguments about ABM and all the rest at this time. I imagine that will be thoroughly debated in the House and more thoroughly debated in the Senate. When it arrives there, I would only hope and I would only say that and I feel we should have this in mind, that sometimes the country gets the idea, I think it's the false idea, that some of us government it's hopped up that some of us, we want war, we want to stand more for defense, and so forth and so on, and other people are for peace. That is what the debate's all about. Every man in this room, every woman is for peace, we all know that. Every man in this room, every person in this room, we look at our tremendous problems around the country. God, if we could only cut down that defense budget and spend more in there. A lot of you, that project you talked about, so forth. We know that. But the question is, how do we get it? What is the best way? We had an honest disagreement about the naval forces. We now have, obviously, some disagreement on this one. All that I can say is that I can pledge to you, every one of you, that our goal is peace. Our goal is a reduction of armaments. But in my view, a reduction on our part in any area which is not reciprocated by an agreement or reduction by those who might be our major opponents in the world in another area would not serve the cause of peace. I think it would increase the chances of conflict. Now, many disagree with that proposition. That's my conviction. That's why going against many of my friends, it's not partisan at all, but it's been very difficult for me to oppose Republicans sometimes, their views. Good friends who oppose our ABM, believe that you do this and that and the other thing, and I know they are sincere, dedicated people, just as many as others are here. My friend, feel that we should move in different directions than we're moving. I simply want to say to the leaders here, I consider this announcement today to be significant. The follow-up is vitally important. And all that I ask from you is that I would hope that you would do with think long hard before doing anything, saying anything, or voting in any way that might jeopardize or destroy the chances for an agreement. Because if we get an agreement in this field, let me say, it could open the door to agreements in other fields. And the whole post-war world could be changed. That's what's on the table here today. Now that's the spirit in which we approach this. And having said that, let me say, I well understand that some will oppose this view. You honestly think maybe you ought to stop ABM or limited or put in escrow or what. And I understand that we'll still have the same personal friendly relationship and respect. But I must tell you how strongly I feel that's my best judgment. And I would appreciate what support you can get.
I didn't say one thing. I believe that national defense is such an area of useful ways. It is such a
far as Ellinger is concerned, I don't think that he needs that right now, because this was done on its own merits, but I would assume, without question in my mind, that at the right time and under the appropriate circumstances, consideration would be given to the proposal like that, but the time just doesn't mean now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry, we helped you very good.
Well, the market very good. Yes, sir. We all drunk.